All right, Matthew 10. And having called his 12, and so that's Jesus calling his 12 disciples, and I want you to put your own name in there. It doesn't say apostles here. It says disciples. And Jesus calling his 12 disciples. And if you're being discipled, if you're letting the Holy Spirit teach you and you're letting the Lord lead you and teach you the ways of God and help you to be sanctified and being set apart for God, then you're a disciple. You're someone who is being discipled, learning to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, learning the ways of God, learning to walk in all that God's called you to. So that's you. So having called his disciples, he gave them authority, which means if you're a disciple, he's given you this authority. He gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every weakness of the body. And it gives the names of the 12 there. And verse 5, Jesus sent these 12 out, charging them, saying, do not go into the way of the nations, and do not go into Samaria, to the Samaritan city, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And going on, proclaim, saying, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. Heal sick ones, cleanse lepers, raise dead ones, cast out demons. You freely received, freely give. Okay. So there's some really strong principles here as far as walking in our authority. Now, this is amazing because Jesus gave them authority before they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? But there's scriptures you'll see in the book of John where Jesus says, you've been, the Holy Spirit's been with you and he's going to be in you. So when you see the disciples doing the miracles before the cross, you are seeing the Holy Spirit demonstrating his power hanging out with the disciples. And so the Lord sent them, and so what he was really doing was he was sending them, but the Holy Spirit was upon them. And we have a teaching called Empowered by the Holy Spirit. I really encourage you to get that, to listen to that. It really talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It really talks about being born again of the Spirit of God and how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. But we, you know, we're going to look at this in a minute, but we are those who wait to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then everywhere we are all the time, the Holy Spirit is there. We need to wake up and really begin to believe. So a few things I want you to see about the scripture here is Jesus is the one who gives us authority over the enemy. He gives us authority over unclean spirits. He wants us to cast them out. There's no disease too big for his authority. No weakness in the body. To me, weakness in the body would also have to do with any kind of mental problems, any kind of emotional problems, anything that's affecting a person's body, a person's flesh, their life. He goes on, and I like this in verse 5. Jesus sent them. I still believe today we're sent. We're going to look a little bit at that. The requirements for being sent today is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're going to look in the book of Acts and see that. So Jesus is the one who sends us. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's Lord, he's King, and he's the one who said, I'm sending these people. He's the one who sends us. So he sent them. And I want you to see this because it's the same holds true today. He told them who to go to. In verse 6, he says, you can't go to these people, you can't go to these people, but go to the lost sheep of Israel. So there is specific sphere of influence that we have as the Lord reveals to us where he has given us authority, which means God is in charge of this. I know there's a lot of teaching out there that makes it sound like we're supposed to decide what to do with this authority and we're supposed to be in charge. And I think the Lord, in his mercy, he's faithful even when we're not. Sometimes as we're growing and maturing, the Lord will allow a season where you think you're doing it. But eventually, if you're not careful, that spirit of error could actually open you up to demonic power that none of us want to walk in. We have to recognize the truth of the gospel that we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. That's the key to true authority. We have to get the fear of the Lord to such a place to not even know what we would do if we were given the authority without Christ. I don't want the authority without Christ. I don't trust myself to play God. But I do want to yield to Christ in me. I want to yield my vessel to God, doing that which is in his plan to do, that which he wants to bring to pass. And there's plenty of things in the scripture to tell us what his will is. So I don't have to wonder if it's his will to heal, because it's very clear in the scripture that he healed them all. If you want to see what we're supposed to do, Jesus himself said in the book of John, these works and greater works. What? The works he did. That's right. The works I do, you will do. So go look at what those works are. Go study that. We have teaching. We have an entire conference on healing. We have a conference on moving in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, study the book of Acts. You know, study and see what Jesus did. Study the Gospels. And when you see Jesus doing a miracle in the Gospels, a healing in the Gospels, raising the dead in the Gospels, recognize this is one of those works that he says I'm supposed to do if I believe. If I believe. Now, these 12 walked in authority, but it was within the guidelines of the instructions of their Lord. So God is still the one to choose who walks in what authority. What sphere of influence are they going to have? And so you see different ministries have different. I know when I go to the Philippines, I move in a completely different level of power and authority than I do, at least at this point in my ministry, the ministry God's given me in America. It's just amazing. The power is stronger. The authority is stronger. Because that season for me to be in the Philippines is coming into maturity, where my season for what God's called me to in America isn't yet. So each of you are going to walk into the authority of the season that you're in, that the Holy Spirit reveals to you. And we're going to look at this more, how to get to the next level of authority, how to walk in greater authority. He goes on in verse 7. He says, going on, proclaim, so you're to declare this, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. So there is a proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. So we need to understand the kingdom of heaven. We need to study what is the kingdom of heaven. We are bringing in the rule and reign of heaven. We are bringing in the rule and the reign of heaven against darkness, against the enemy. There's a scripture, we'll try to find where it's at, but it says we have been translated from the king, from the, it actually says from the authority of Satan into the kingdom of God. So the authority is in God's kingdom. The authority is in God's kingdom. As we walk in God's kingdom, as we know who we are in Christ, as we understand his kingdom, and we understand that he's the king of the kingdom and not us, you know, then we will walk in that authority that Jesus walked in. And there's a, read the book of John. It's just so good, you know, where the Lord says, I only do. We talked about this in one of our teachings recently, I think Sunday morning. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. So Jesus in flesh, God in flesh, recognized that he was submitted to the kingdom of heaven. He recognized that even though he was God in flesh, completely empowered, so that his flesh did not dictate what he was to do, who he was to heal, what his next step was, he chose to not be led by his flesh and not to trust his flesh. So he chose to be led by the Father. He chose to stay in communion and fellowship with the Heavenly Father, so that everything he did came from God, and no flesh was able to get in and bring mixture. No flesh was able to get in and cause him to be led by anything else, like being provoked, being hungry, you know, being his flesh being stirred up. He chose to submit himself to the Father. Likewise, for us to walk in authority, just like Jesus gave them specific instructions and then sent them out, we need to have that time in the presence of God. We need to have that time where our Lord, Jesus, reveals the plans of God, reveals the Father's heart. As we learn to yield, we'll find out the Holy Spirit will just move in his authority through us in ways we weren't even expecting. But that kind of flow of the Holy Spirit comes as we spend time in the secret place, as we spend time getting to know God, knowing the heart of God, reading the Word of God, understanding our God, and recognizing, God, you know, I know nothing but you crucified, Paul says. I'm to a place where I don't understand anything. I'm not pretending to understand anything. I'm not trying to use my intellect to decide what to do and not to do. God, I'm submitting myself to you. The enemy's got to flee. And Lord, you're going to be, you're the one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is recognizing I could trust God. He's got everything under control. His word is yes and amen. His promises are true. He wants my children saved more than I want my children saved. He wants my spouse living a spirit-filled life more than I want my spouse living a spirit-filled life. He wants, and my husband is spirit-filled, my children are saved. I just use these examples so everyone can understand the heart of God. You know, God wants his perfect will in our lives and the lives of other people more than we want it. So he's just asking for us to be obedient. See, they were called to be obedient. He very specifically told them what to do. They had to proclaim the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. And then he told them, when you proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has drawn near, then heal the sick ones, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead ones, cast out demons. You freely received, you freely given. I think that has a lot to do also with what's your motive. Are you doing this to build something besides the kingdom of heaven? Are you trying to build a ministry? Are you trying to make people, are you trying to prove something about yourself? Are you trying to prove something about yourself to yourself? Or is this about you, or is this about the kingdom of heaven? Is this about you, or this is about God coming in to darkness with light to say, do you want, you know, when you bring the kingdom of God, what you're really saying to people is, let me demonstrate God's power and authority. Now choose. Let me proclaim the kingdom of God. Let me proclaim the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you, there is a choice. There is a way out of your bondage. There is a way out of your sickness. There is a way out of the things in your heart that are tormenting you. Let me tell you about the kingdom of heaven. Let me proclaim to you what Christ has done for you. Let me proclaim to you that Satan has been defeated, and let me demonstrate that. And God did this for me. It doesn't cost you anything. Let's just demonstrate that. See, we have the words, some of us. A lot of people in the body of Christ do not even have enough understanding to have the words yet. But many have the words. They have some of the concepts, but they do not have the authority yet, because they're not demonstrating it with the power of God. And so part of what we need to do is ask the Lord, why don't I have this authority? And don't blame it. Don't blame it on everybody. They don't have faith, or they, you know, well, why don't they have faith? Obviously, they're not seeing something so powerful in your life that they really believe that you're bringing the kingdom. You know, Lord, help us to be so yielded to the Holy Spirit and his kingdom. And one of the key steps is getting free yourself. You know, people running around trying to minister, pray for people, lay hands on people, and I'm okay with all that if it's spirit-led, but a lot of it is emotionally led. A lot of it is trying to prove something. Why don't you get your life together first? If you have the kingdom of God inside of you, you have authority inside of you, why don't you really begin to cry out and ask the Lord how to really pray and believe for your family? and really take it serious. Some of you are going to have to really fast and pray to see bondage broken over your homes. Really fast. We need to get our finances in order. How can we believe if we can't believe for our finances? How can we believe? We're going to look at that, how money is one of the things God says you got to have authority over money before he's going to give you authority over important things. See, we just have to break through. I really believe a lot of people in the charismatic and prophetic movements love to go off and try to show authority. You know, and people they don't even know life. So they're running around to meetings, laying hands on people and trying to even go to hospitals and lay hands on people, never to really do a follow-up and see if somebody was really healed, you know, many times, when their whole life is a mess. And so the first place to start for this authority is really spending time with God and asking him to help you to get free from everything the enemy's done in your life that stops you from knowing who you are in Christ, that stops you from knowing that Christ is in you, that stops you from really breaking through to a place of faith, the substance of things hoped for, not yet seen, into a place of real victory. You know, God is looking for the overcomers, and that's in the book of Revelations. We'll look at that in a minute. Let's go to Mark 6:7. I want to encourage, if you want to call it that, everybody here to really take time and look at your life and begin, and I'm not saying get so focused on your problems that God cannot use you for anything else. I'm not saying that. I'm saying in the areas where you have a Bible promise, begin to flex your authority muscles and watch God put things in order. Begin to really, don't avoid that to go and try to do spiritual stuff. Now, that doesn't mean when you've done all to stand, then you stand and believe and do whatever the Lord brings along. You know, it's very, some people get the lie that, you know, God can't use me to pray for anybody until my family's healed or I'm healed or whatever. That's not true. If you're yielded to the Holy Spirit and he shows you to pray for somebody, pray for somebody.